Good afternoon, and thank you for all staying on till the end of the session. I'm going to be talking about the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program. It's a program offered by USDA to offer fruits and vegetables as snack outside of the reimbursable meals program. And I have no relationships to disclose. I'd like to recognize my collaborators, Lindsay Turner and Frank Chalupka, both from University of Illinois, Chicago. And this work was done as part of the Bridging the Gap program, a research program funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. So the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program is administered by the USDA's Food and Nutrition Services, and at the federal level, and is administered at the, or implemented at the state level by state agencies administering the National School Lunch Program in various states. And this is their new logo. As I was preparing for this presentation, this was the first time I saw it because I was familiar with the previous one, but this is the new logo. And as I mentioned, Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program, or I'll be referring to it as FFVP, provides reimbursement to schools to provide fresh fruits and vegetables as snacks to all children in participating schools. And the crucial part is that it has to be done during the school day and outside of the school breakfast and school lunch meals. So the program goals are to expand the variety of fruits and vegetables that children experience so that when a new study is done, they'll probably accept cauliflowers as an option, as we heard earlier from our earlier speaker. Another goal is to increase children's fruit and vegetable consumption and make a difference in children's diets to impact their present and future health. Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program was started as a pilot program in 2002 when 100 schools were selected for the pilot in four states, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, and Iowa, along with the ITO in New Mexico. It's gone through a few iterations of expansion. In the interest of time, picked the three major ones. In the Child Nutrition and WIC Reauthorization Act of 2004 had some expansion provisions for the fresh fruit and vegetable program. But in 2008, in the last Farm Bill, the program was expanded to all 50 states and was permanently authorized as a nutrition program in all public schools in the United States. And it called for a significant increase in funding, going up from $40 million in 2008 to going up to about $150 million. The program requirements are, unlike the pilot, which was started in high schools, middle schools, and elementary schools, the requirements for the final fruit and vegetable provision is that it has to be implemented in an elementary school, and it represents schools within the states which have highest number or highest percentage of children who are certified for free and reduced meals. The schools that participate in the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program have to offer the National School Lunch Program. And they have to do an annual application, and the states make the decision as to which schools get the program. But it's primarily based on the school being an elementary school and having a high proportion of children who are certified for free and reduced meals. So there have been, when the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program was started as a pilot in 2002, there have been a number of evaluations of the programs in different states, and they've been pretty positive. Starting with just looking at the feasibility of the program, the ERS reports and Potter and collaborators have said that concluded that the program is well implemented and well received by schools and teachers, because it's a program that, unlike breakfast and lunch, it's done during the course of the school day, and there isn't a special time allocated for it. So getting the buy-in from the teachers and school administrators is quite critical. So it's been shown to be effective, and it's worked quite well, works within the realms of what else needs to happen in the school. The studies in this field have also found that not only were children's exposure to different types of fruits and vegetables enhanced by the program, but children or students participating also improved their preference and willingness to try different types of fruits and vegetables. And if you recall, that's one of the goals of the program, is to increase children's exposures and willingness to experiment with different kinds of fruits and vegetables and go beyond the traditional that they're used to, either at home or in the school environment. And it has also resulted in increased consumption of fruit. And I want to emphasize that most studies have shown that the increase is in consumption of fruits and not of vegetables. So that's a point worth noting because of the kinds of results that we find later on. So the objectives of the study that I'm presenting here were to describe the characteristics of the schools participating in the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program 1 year after its expansion as part of the Farm Bill. So the data that I'm presenting were collected in 2010 as part of the 2009-2010 school year. So that was after a year of the Farm Bill implementation. We also investigated the role of fresh fruit and vegetable participation in determining the school food environment. Did it affect what kinds of foods were served during lunchtime or not? And so with those objectives, I'll share our results with, I'll describe the survey, and then get to the results. So the data that I'm presenting came from the annual survey of school-level practices that is conducted by the Bridging the Gap program. In all schools or schools representative of elementary schools in the country, so it's a random sample of schools that have third grade. So the requirement is that schools must have third grades, because as you all know that, you know, elementary schools can be K through 8 or K through 3 or K through 4. So in order to define elementary schools for our sample, we've decided that they must contain grade 3. And as all the different types I described, they all have to have third grade in them. So this is a representative sample of elementary schools in the U.S. It's a mailback survey that is completed by the principal, food service manager, and other relevant staff and teachers at schools. An incentive is provided to the people who fill out the survey. It's an ongoing survey, so it's an annual survey going back to 2007. So it's really important that we get a good response rate so that we can track these changes over the course of time. Our response rate has been pretty decent, given that it's a national survey, of about 64% for the year that I'm presenting the data from. It's a two-part survey. The first part talks about more administrative issues, and the school administrator fills it out. The second one relates more to addresses more of the issues that a food service director may know, and they are requested to fill out the survey. And because it's a nationally representative sample, we use survey weights to adjust for non-response rates so that we have inferences that can be generalized to all elementary schools in the U.S. So for the current analysis, we restricted the sample to only schools that offered the National School Lunch Program, because as I mentioned earlier, fresh food and vegetable program can only be offered at schools that have the National Lunch Program. So in our sample, we have 620 elementary schools. The dependent variable or participation in fruit and vegetable program that we looked at came from the question which described the fresh fruit and vegetable program to the school administrators and asked them if their school participated or did not participate in the school lunch program. Our independent variables were, the main ones were the availability of fruits and vegetables at lunch. And here we defined fruits and vegetables into three categories. One was pre-made salads and salad bars, fresh fruit, and vegetables excluding potatoes. They were coded as never or some, were coded as zero, and most and every day were coded as one. So we, because our expectation is, or the aim of the program is that, or we would want, or the desirable behavior is that we want fruits and vegetables to be offered on a regular basis at school. So therefore, most and every day is coded as the desirable behavior of one. We got school demographics on school size, percentage eligibility of free and reduced meals, and racial and ethnic compositions from the National Center for Education Statistics. And our classification, we classified these variables into categories. The schools were classified by size, small, medium, large, based on tertiles. And the percentage eligibility for free and reduced meals, we classified it at less than 50%, and then 50 to 70%, and 75 and higher. And the reason we did that was because the Fresh Food and Vegetable Program encourages that if states have a lot of schools which have more than 50% children eligible for free and reduced, that those are the schools that they target. So we want to know how is the program doing in terms of targeting low-income children. We also looked at, we also wanted to control for the fact if the states had any mandates on offering more fruits and vegetables to schools. As you know, states have policies and states can make recommendations as to whether the schools should offer or they encourage recommendation for fruits and vegetables. So we, based on another set of data that the Bridging the Gap program collects, we classified states into those that required schools to offer fruits and vegetables at lunch versus zero for states that only encouraged or didn't mention it. So it's the strength of the, it's based on strength of the policy. We also have data on presence of a dietitian or nutritionist at school. And this was again answered by the school administrator in terms of whether a dietitian or a nutritionist was available full-time or part of the time at the school. And lastly, we have data on participation on Team Nutrition Program, which is another USDA program at the school level. So based on these data, I'll share some results with you. So all the slides kind of go the same way. On the y-axis, we have percent participating in fresh fruit and vegetable program, and on the x-axis are some of the explanatory variables that we have that I've described. So this one is talking about fresh fruit and vegetable participation in elementary schools by region of the country. So as you can see, we have Southwest, Midwest, and Northeast here. And on an average at the national level, about 25.3% of the schools participate in fresh fruit and vegetable program. So you can see in the West, we have slightly higher percentages going up to about 31 or 32%, 31%, but none of these differences are statistically significant. So one could conclude that, you know, the program is pretty evenly spread through different regions. In this slide, we have fruit and vegetable participation on the y-axis, and we have urbanicity or urban, suburban, town, and rural schools on the x-axis. And as you can see, the yellow line in the slides moving forward will depict the U.S. average here. So again, no statistical differences, though we do see that urban schools tend to participate in these in the program at a higher level. The towns, schools that were classified to be located in towns have a marginally significant lower rate of participation compared to the urban schools. This one describes participation by the majority race at the school. And again, while we see majority Hispanic and majority diverse schools have a higher rate of participation, it is not statistically significant from the other schools. Again, showing that the program is adapted at you know, schools with different race and ethnicity groups. This one talks about the size of the school. Again, no differences. Small, medium, and large schools are almost equally likely to participate in the schools. Now, this slide talks shows participation in free and reduced meals at the three levels. This one is at less than 50%, free or reduced, 50 to 75%, and 75 and over. And as you can see here, the program is reaching its targeted audience or targeted schools by most of the schools in the program are, or the likelihood of participation in the fruit and vegetable program is significantly higher in schools that have more than 75% participation rates, and marginally significant in 50 to 70%. However, I'd like to point out that about 30% of the schools that participated in the program were schools which had less than 50% students eligible for free and reduced meals. These are two interesting findings because this we didn't expect, but it's a very encouraging finding given what we know from literature in terms of some of the challenges and barriers to improving school food environments. For instance, the last SHIPS studies suggest that one of the barriers is having qualified people in food service management. And what we find is when we have dietitians or nutritionists available, the schools were significantly more likely to participate in fresh fruit and vegetable program. Now, again, it's a cross-sectional study, so we can't say that this is causality. Maybe schools that are more progressive and have a trained staff also tend to be schools that apply for these programs. We don't know that, but certainly we see a significant association. Similarly, we see a very significant association with participation in team nutrition program. Again, these are both USDA programs, so the likelihood of connectivity is higher. But this goes to show that participation in team nutrition, having qualified staff, have so many added advantages to besides what the programs, besides what they were intended to do. So I think I'd just like to make another case for more schools participating in team nutrition programs and hiring more qualified staff to serve as food service professionals in the schools. What we did next was we wanted to see, so we see which schools participate and which schools do not participate, but what is the impact of fresh fruit and vegetable program participation beyond the fact that they provide snacks? We know from previous studies that if you offer fresh fruit and vegetables as snacks, children tend to eat more fruits, for instance, and improve, change their preferences. But does it have any impact on the school food environment? Does it change what is offered on the lunch line, for instance? So in this, these are results from a regression where we controlled for all the covariates such as the school size, race, ethnicity, percentage school children participating in free and reduced meals, the stuff that we looked at along with policies. And what we find is that schools that participate in fresh fruit and vegetable program were twice as likely to offer fresh fruit at lunch. We see the pattern going in the positive direction. For instance, they are slightly more likely to offer salads and vegetables. These two were not statistically significant, but we see a significant association with fruit. Now, why might that be? We saw initially from previous research that as a result of fresh fruit and vegetable participation, children improved their preference for fruits and vegetables, but they improved their consumption for fruits. So it could be that the schools are, this is a response to more demand from the students because they've tried more fruits now and they're demanding that more fresh fruits be served. So we don't know what's driving it, but we know for sure that they're twice as likely to offer fresh fruits. So that's an encouraging reason, one more reason for more schools to apply for fresh fruit and vegetable program and, you know, for more funding to go this route, because this is definitely a way by which we can increase students' exposure to fruits and vegetables, but also help improve the school food environment by encouraging schools to offer more healthy things on the lunch line. So just to conclude, we know about 1 in 4national school lunch program participating, elementary schools participate in the fresh fruit and vegetable program nationally. Schools with large number of low-income children were more likely to participate in fresh fruit and vegetable program. However, 1/3 of the participating schools had less than 50% of the schools eligible for free and reduced meals. Presence of a dietitian or nutritionist and participation in team nutrition were associated with higher rates of participation. And participation in fresh fruit and vegetable program is associated with higher likelihood of schools offering fresh fruit and vegetable during lunch. So just as in, to conclude, fresh fruit and vegetable program has targeted reach to schools with children from low-income families. Improved availability of fruit at lunch in participating schools suggests that fresh fruit and vegetable program can contribute to improvements in food environment beyond the intended goal of the fresh fruit and vegetable program. And previous research, as I mentioned, has shown that participation improves students' preference for fruits and vegetables and specifically consumption of fruits. And the higher availability in these schools may be a response to that enhanced preference. So that's all that I have.